episode is sponsored by Raise Tech, end-to-end IT solutions for your business growth.
Hello, everyone. Once again, we're on the Agile couch, couches in this case, and we're visiting Raise Tech today and having a conversation with Davidas, who's a front-end developer here and a team lead as well. Yes. And probably as a team lead, also it's important that we, you know, sort of engage into a productive life cycle of ours. So that will be the topic for today: long-term productivity.
Yes, very interesting concept, long-term productivity. I mean, I guess in the IT sphere and maybe in the work sphere as a whole, there's this like powerful word, productivity, right?
Yeah.
We always want to do stuff, like to improve, to like get our processes better, like develop better and stuff like that. I was at the start of my career as well, like into it, like where we want to do a lot, learn, program, you know, it would take all of my free time. And then at some point, like during the last year or so, like I started feeling the symptoms of burnout, which is probably quite common, at least as far as I do some research. Burnout is quite a common concept right now. So I started thinking about this idea of like, so we want to be productive, right? We want to create stuff, we want to program, we want to be on the cutting edge, right? But how should we manage that productivity to be able to expand it as long as possible? Because I think it often happens, like especially with big corporations, that you're excited, you do work, you try, you go for it, and then at some point you burn out. You need a lot of time to recover. So like,
You reach some sort of edge at some
point. Yeah.
So that's why probably the key word here is the long term, right? In other words, sustainable.
Sustainable.
Because we can be productive if we wish, if we have a deadline we need to finish, you know, deadlines are often very huge motivators for for productivity. But that's very temporary. So that's a long term. So how to sustain it throughout probably years, right? Sustain it personally and within a team, I'm guessing. Right? That's
I guess it's complicated in a sense that, you know, especially like in development, we work in sprints, and you often like you try to achieve the sprint goal, and if you do, you're happy, and then you're on to another sprint goal, and oftentimes you like you push forward, you do a bit more, you work a bit longer hours, and then you achieve that sprint goal. But here's the problem: there's another sprint goal after that one. So like I guess the best way to make it sustainable is to realize it's probably a team effort from the whole team, as in from the developers who do the work, and then from the, I guess, management part to also help them maintain that, I guess, productivity for a long term. So what I mean is that both the, I guess, the person who feels the overwhelm and the amount of, you know, the work, that there's too much work, too much stuff, I need to, you know, hold back a bit. He needs to be able to communicate that. But in the same way, I think that management, that could be Scrum Masters, team leads, anyone from that role, should also try to create the environment where the person can share and would be able to say that. You could say that in theory, like we have the Agile and Scrum events that do that, like retrospectives, and we are able to talk. But it's hard to be able to be honest, I guess, in a corporate setting when the environment is not built on like trust between people, if that makes any sense. So like, for example, what I try to do with my one-on-ones, I'm probably not successful at times, but this is something I try to do, is like to firstly create the bond between, I guess, your coworkers, because in my mind, if there is a bond between people, then it's easier for you to say like, hey, like I'm overworked, I'm like feeling depressed, or like it's too hard. And then maybe I can help that person. Mm-hmm. But first there has to be that bond, and that is.
Yeah, in other words, now the famous term is you need to have this psychological safety within a team.
Yeah.
To be a sort of a confident in being vulnerable, right? So don't be afraid of show your, you know, vulnerability at points. weakness and whatever.
It's probably hard to do, right, when you're in a big team, big corporation, and especially if you are like new to the environment and like new to this sphere, for example. And especially, I think in IT, this can be seen of you're working so much and you try to do it because you want to make a name, especially in the first, in the beginnings of your career. And this can be seen very often, I think, with juniors, and that you work until you're burnt out and then you change companies, right? Which is not good both for you probably because you're burnt out and for the company because you lose a good prospect. So that's what I mean, you know, like, and in IT, it's like, it's super fast-paced. You have to learn, you have to do stuff, and then, you know, how can we manage that? So that's the long-term productivity, isn't how can I both produce good work in my daily work? How can I learn and keep up the pace with, I guess, the technologies that change? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, do that for a long time and not get to the point of, you know, needing outside help and stuff like that. So
how to do it, right? You're raising the question yourself. That's the main question for today, I guess. And from the two angles, right, we sort of are talking about the team, but then we're also saying it's a personal matter as well, right? It's first of all personal matter, probably. Maybe we should split those two, right? So what should I do as an individual and what can we do as a team? Where should I start? How should the team react? By the team, I mean everyone, including the leaders and everyone that's in a setting. So from personal perspective then, right? How to get to the point to understand that I need this long-term productivity and to find probably the balance for myself where am I productive not for a temporary basis, but for a long term, right?
Yeah.
Or what kind of mistakes to avoid, maybe, you know, you have to share something here.
So to start off, I just want to emphasize, like, I'm no expert in this field. Like, I do try, you know, to come up with ideas, and mainly, like, I think the point of this talk, at least for me personally, is to, I guess, raise questions and just to have an open discussion that, like, this is real, I think, especially, like, as I said, like, in IT, it's very real with a fast pace. And obviously, with the current culture, as far as, like, I see in, like, YouTube videos and, like, articles, it's about, like, personal growth. Mm-hmm. And it's often, like said, like, you have to, you know, emphasize all the things outside of work, which is, you know, your mental health, like your physical health, you know, connection with people, and then like learning and stuff like that. I think it's often talked, and you can find a lot of research on that, and like we probably know what to do in that sense. I think it is also important to like talk from the management point of view as well. Like mm-hmm. for me as a developer and a team lead, I'm sort of in the both areas. And I think it is important for managers to also like help the people do those things. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you feel like the developer is showing symptoms of like, you know, not being as energetic or like talking less, or like you can probably hear in their voice the tiredness that comes. So then it's probably your responsibility as well to like, hey, how can I help and preemptively like do stuff? So I think that is important to also not forget, like not to try and, you know, go and just
leave a person with his problems, right?
Yeah. And especially like I think it's very easy to then go and have that chat like, oh, you're not developing as well, or like you're not as productive or not as talkative, like, but there are reasons for that most of the time. So like if you have people that do produce stuff like from the purity, I guess, or hard, like they want to work hard, but then they have blockers, then how can I help that? There are people who don't want to learn and improve, of course, but we're not talking about those. I think that's the two parts. Like, so you personally have to, I guess, firstly be cognitive of what is happening, like, mm-hmm. why are you feeling that way? Are you tired? Like, what could be the reason? And you should be able to talk about that not only in your personal life or like with your colleagues, but also with your management. Mm-hmm. And from the management side of view, I think it is important for them to be able to be talked to, a bit convoluted sentence, but basically so that you are someone that people can easily come to and then tell all of these.
The trust that you were talking about in the beginning, right? So that I'm not afraid to come with those kind of problems. Right?
And probably the hardest part, like if you work in like, because most of the time it's like the team leads and middle managers, they have to balance their team and then the, I guess, needs of the client and of the project itself. Mm-hmm. So it also like is a bit difficult because you have to battle both sides. Like you have to sometimes tell the clients that like, no, we cannot produce this, we cannot do this, it's like not in our scope and stuff like that. So it's a hard balance. And like, I think like with many things in life, there is no set answer. Like there is no magical formula. I guess the only thing that you can try and do and just to be cognitive and try to keep that balance as much. So if you see that you're tipping in one side, maybe you should go to the other, something like that.
So basically look for those limits of yourself, first of all, of a team, right? It's also actually very much related with Agile. It's sometimes forgotten that even there is even one of the principles in Agile that says that the team, one of the principles is that the team must, I don't remember by heart the sentence, right? But it more or less says that we are able to sustain, our pace indefinitely or something like that, long term. So basically how I read this principle is that we have a pace of work that we are able to do on and on, right? With probably small fluctuations, but we know our,
velocity.
Yeah, we know our, tops and bottoms, basically. Yeah. So, and we're, we're fluctuating there, but more or less we're able to sustain the pace. So it's really much related with agility, and that's sometimes forgotten that, we think that agility is to make sure we get faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, right? Which is not the case. It's finding a point where you are fast, but you are able to maintain this pace. Otherwise, what's the point? At some point you will drop, right? And that's not good. And then, the whole point disappears basically. All right, so we're talking about trust, we're talking about psychological safety, we're talking about being present, finding your limits. But I'm just, interested in, you started by saying that, for a year now, you're exploring this topic because you had an experience. So what was the experience and what maybe were the symptoms for you that sort of got you thinking about it in the first place? Because I believe, noticing it, it's the first step. I don't want to make like bad conclusions, but it's sometimes if you have any kind of, addictions. Right, the first thing is to understand you have it. First step, that's what psychologists are saying, right?
So I guess I should start off by saying I started like my, professional IT career 2 years ago here at Raise. I joined from the intern level and built myself, I think in like 7 months in, I then became a team lead, sort of like trainee, and then built up, and it's been 2 years.
That's fast.
Yeah, that is fast. That is quite fast. I was lucky to have, of course, good mentors, be in a good company, which allows growth based on your pace. So like if you come in and you want to do fast, you want to try stuff, you want to go in and like participate in all sorts of events, like this talk, for example, just go for it, do it, like you're open to it. I guess the problem with that is like, I really liked, programming and IT, and obviously that's why I'm here. And I just dove in like head first and just as I said, you know, at the beginning, you just go for it and just you program, you learn, you do it like more than like over hours and stuff like that. And because you're interested and then you're doing stuff. And of course, with all of that comes a lot of anxiety and like stress, and especially stress, that like you're doing new things and they're like big and stuff. And and this whole pace, like I just could not keep up. So I think a year ago there were some shifts, and for a time I was the only team lead, and also like stressed with the project as my mentor left, and I just felt that I like shut down. Like the first symptoms were probably physical, so that's the burnout symptoms when you get physical, like tiredness and like pains and like temperature rising and stuff like that. And then of course the psychological of like I would remember I would like wait for the next day to come into work just to, you know, code and to learn, and I got excited, and then at some point I was like I'm just dreading going. Just like that sort of shift, really I could notice that very well, and just the drive just started dissipating, and my personal life of course suffered for it. And that's the reason I guess I started like thinking more of so then at the beginning of your career you're often encouraged to do more and do extra, but then you burn out because you're doing way too much than you can handle. So then what is the best, I guess, approach to it, and how could I then maintain it for a long time? So like if my goal would have been like to be a mid-level developer in some time, you know, and then you reach it, you obviously want to do a bit more, but then you cannot continue with that pace. So then how can you, I guess, produce and then not get to a point when like you have to shut down? Because I think my growth like stagnated for a while because I just couldn't physically maintain that pace. So I think that's why I just started raising these questions, and why I wanted to talk about it here, just so that, you know, maybe more people can also think about it. And if they do, they can share some insights as well. So I guess that's that. I don't know if that answered your question quite well, but
yeah, I think you were quite quite explicit. And if you have any comments, please give them to us. We're very interested into exploring that even further, probably. But then let's get more into the team dimension, right? So we talked a bit about trust, about, you know, the leader's role. What I want also to explore is to how we can help in the team to each other about it, right? Usually in the team, I mean, there probably not usually, there's always, you know, there could be very different setups in different companies, but you have probably a mix. You have some younger, you know, employees, whether it's an engineer, whether it's whatever you're doing, maybe, and then you have probably some seniors to, you know, be run the show and, you know, be more on top of everything. What is the roles then? We might say that maybe the juniors want to be, you know, as you were, fast and take a lot and make, you know, quick career and all of that, learn. Maybe it's a good thing, or should we, you know, should those mentors, maybe our senior ones, be the ones that also notice it and tell, you know, slow down, man. I mean, definitely. There is nowhere to rush. You will get there. So what would be your sort of, I don't know, observations here? What are, how we can help each other in the team?
Definitely. So again, I think that it's the job of like the whole team to, I guess at the end of the day, like what we are all doing here is just like we're working with people, and we're like programming and doing our skills based stuff, but at the end of the day, like most problems that you face are just you know, some problem, then you have to communicate with one person, another, do stuff, a lot of communication, a lot of teamwork, and then we produce something. So it's like a lot of work with people. So I would say that you should like not forget that point, that you're actually like working with people, and then notice them like as people. So like if you see that they are a bit weird, you know, maybe they're tired or something, you can ask like what's going on, what are you doing? Or like if you see that they are rushing too much, doing too much stuff, and then you've been through it, maybe you're a senior dev, right? You've seen where this leads. then you go and tell them, and obviously they're not gonna listen to you. But then if you continue maybe saying that, like, why is it like this, like that, and then maybe they'll slow down a bit and maybe do stuff. Or maybe if they are not progressing as fast as you might think they could progress, mm-hmm. then maybe it's also like you say, like, hey, like, you should do this, you should do that. Like, if you see that, so for example, one of our testers, very good tester, but we have a lot of, work, like sprint work. And then I very much want her to learn automated testing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So to increase the her knowledge, and would also benefit me as well to learn that as well. Then I see like she's always testing the story stuff. So then let's then create a meeting. Mm-hmm. You and me, we're gonna learn and then try to improve both of us. So like actively participating in that. Like if you see it, then try to change something. And that's what I mean, like from the team lead, like trying to notice it, like one-on-ones, I don't think are quite the corporate meeting of, so what are your OKRs, what are your KPIs, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, that part is important in some sense, but it's more important to create that trust, the communication, and then help from that point. So like, if they are overworked, okay, let's see how we can minimize that work. Maybe we can optimize some of your processes,
mm-hmm.
maybe help with that. Maybe, hey, like, we're both in Vilnius, we both like to, I don't know, go dancing, we can go dancing. Like,
mm-hmm.
just some ideas, like, to help from that point. So the whole team, like, I think should, yeah, just be like a team. And you can't do a lot of like process improvement without knowing the person and then like what are the boundaries. And like as you mentioned before, like we all have velocities, and we all, like with Agile, we want to reach that certain point of like we can maintain this velocity for a long time. But I think how life works often is that we get a lot of unexpected changes, and then the velocity is never at some point. So have to probably try to look for when it's a bit, maybe it's too large, we could slow down, maybe it's too little, we could improve, maybe that's how to do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I wouldn't say that velocity shows productivity. That's what I'm also very much trying to tell, you know, whether I'm working with clients and so on. It's when I say maintain long-term productivity, it doesn't mean maintain velocity. It's two different things. It's not only, you know, burning the story points or whatever you're counting your velocity with, right? It's about making sure you constantly deliver, you know, the working product that you were supposed to within the pace that it's both satisfying for the team and satisfying for the customer, the company, whatever setting you're in.
Yeah, from that, maybe it's a good idea to not to focus on the numbers and metrics that much. Because I feel like, I think that what we produce in the team with regards to the code is high quality. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, there are some steps that could be improved, obviously, and stuff like that, but I think it's quite good. But then the problem comes when you get a certain story and, you know, you have to have the effort points added to it, but you don't really know the amount of efforts because mm-hmm. there's a lot of factors that come into play. Like you could say that, oh, this would take us like 2 days to complete, but then like it's way more complicated, so mm-hmm. then it takes a longer time. Maybe like it's not even the code is complicated, but perhaps like someone got sick or like someone left and stuff like that, and it's very hard to like really tackle these numbers and effort points. So they are important to get a sense, but I guess it's also important to not forget that we don't really know, like,
mm-hmm.
people are terrible at time management and mm-hmm. like just coming up with the amount of effort that needs to be done. So just also could be a point of maintaining long-term productivity is like knowing what these numbers mean and trying to implement them, but then also remembering that, hey, like...
Yeah, we're not here for numbers.
Yeah,
yeah. So, So we talked about, you know, some sort of a personal level, how I should notice my physical symptoms and that I shouldn't push myself too much, then the team setting, right, how I can help, how the leader should maybe step in, or the other colleagues. I think the important thing for especially young employees or junior employees is also not to want to do everything at once. If you want to learn something, yeah, learn this, then learn that, right? Also focusing. But then what could be, you know, taking one step sort of a further, what could be the organizational role in this, right? Maybe there are something that the company should do, promote, you know, inspire on to actually, well, maintain this long-term productivity, because it's probably good both for both, right? For the company and for the employees,
obviously,
right?
So, it's a good question, because I mean, obviously you don't want to stifle the developer, like the person who comes in and wants to do stuff, like mm-hmm. you don't want to burn like their excitement.
No, you
right?
don't do it, right?
No, I think you're doing too much, like mm-hmm. you don't want to do it. But maybe also you should allow them, but like maybe see how it is, or like, because I think there are people who, I think I'm one of those people mm-hmm. who just is excited and then adds a lot to their plate and then fails to do most of the things that they added to it. Mm-hmm. And like it's in one sense it's good because you're doing stuff and learning and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like the product is not as good as it could be. So perhaps the corporation, if they focus on stuff like roles, because I think in Raise we have this like idea of roles, like, so I'm a full-time developer, right? Mm-hmm. But then also I can have different roles that do different things. So like a team lead, you know, I could do some recruiting. I could, you know, be a speaker, like mm-hmm. Do stuff like that. So maybe then the corporation's goal is to like say, hey, like you've added too many roles. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, like maybe you should not do this, or just choose one because we feel like you're doing too much, or like setting a limit or something. Not maybe a limit, because different people can manage different stuff, but you know, maybe just opening conversation of like, you know, you're doing too much. Or but in the same sense, like perhaps if you want to build like I guess a team or community of people who are those that do extra, mm-hmm. then maybe also like during recruitment saying like, hey, like we want the developer, but just FYI, like we expect a bit more, you know, like doing some extra stuff, like again, like recruiting, maybe like writing something, or doing stuff like also creating that culture of like, yeah, we do extra, but not too much so that we can maintain these people.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what could the corporation could do, like, because again, I really like the ability to grow at least here and to try things, but also at some points you should like catch up with the person, like, so you've done this, how did it went? And they're like, I failed this, I succeeded here, and then I failed this. So we're like, okay, so maybe you're doing too much.
Mm-hmm. Then that's probably a good indication.
Yeah, probably. So maybe that's what the corporation should do. Think about it.
Yeah, I know that companies are also promoting this, you know, it's a psychological safety, and you know, just talking about it in the company. In other words, putting it sort of as a cultural thing, right? Just doing mindfulness sessions, and you know, letting people explore their you know, limits, and generally just having that in the air that, you know, please avoid burnout, or you know, we're not here to stress ourselves to death.
I think this is great when corporations try to do that, but I think the problem would come in when they force that on people, because I think having the possibility or opportunity to, for example, come and check a maybe some expert speaking on it, or maybe, you know, having a in-house, say, a psychiatrist or something like that, mm-hmm. it's great until it is forced on people, because some might not want it, some might find it cringe and have different ways of learning it. But having the opportunity to do that, and like probably hearing what your team or individual people need is also great, like being able to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how it is in different other companies. One thing I like it here that I can message our CEO and be like, hey, do you have some time for to grab a coffee and to talk? And then maybe like when he's free, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe. But it will happen. We can come and talk and then discuss all of these ideas. So maybe that's also a good thing of just listening what the people, I guess, that do the work also need and
feeling the pulse of the organization itself, right?
What is needed? Like what kind of culture have we created, and like, is it what we want, or what is good for the people? And in theory, probably if you're able like to create that sort of culture of openness and then, you know, giving freedom to people to explore and to try and to stuff, maybe then that's how they are productive in the long term, because you can try this, exciting, no more exciting, change, go into a different thing, exciting, do no more, and then, you know, maybe that's that what long-term productivity is. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that, you know, in order to stay productive, you have to have this healthy level of stress. If it's none of it, you're basically means you're not utilizing, you're underutilizing yourself, right?
Yeah.
But it does not need to, you know, exceed probably some limit when the stress takes over and it becomes dangerous.
You know? So we actually had a learning session about burnout. It was very funny because it was like a week after I felt the symptoms, like, what is for me? But it was very
good
funny.
Timing.
Yeah, good timing, perfect timing. And I think the speaker there told that, you know, like stress is a very important part of the body. It comes from, you know, back when we were, I guess, in the hunter-gatherers,
cave people.
It is a very important part of our system, and it does help us produce. And we, and in society, I think like our current society is like a lot of stress, but we produce, it helps us produce, helps us do great things. But the problem comes when you're unable to escape the stress loop. So like what you mentioned, like certain amount of stress is important and is needed, and it makes you do stuff, like action. It is important, but also it is important to escape that stress loop. So being able to, you know, unwind to a certain point. And I think how burnout happens is when you are stuck in that. You're stressed, and then you complete maybe some task, but then you're unable to escape that loop. You're still stressed, and then you have another stressful task, and then you're just out there. So it is probably important to learn how you yourself are able to unwind that stress. So that there are a lot of different like examples, of course, like physical activity, but there's a lot of physical activity you could do. So some go for walks and it helps, some go to the gym and it helps, maybe someone goes to, you know,
yoga class meditations
it could be anything, like, but it is important to be able to do that, and most of the times that happens outside the work, and then so creating that healthy balance of like, so what is it that helps me unwind?
All right, so it seems like you also, you know, talking a lot of you had some trainings and did some research, so maybe because we're coming to the end of our talk, anything to recommend? Maybe you had a good book, an article, a blog, a training session, whatever, around this topic, something in between those lines?
Very hard to say. I've recently started going to therapy, so I think that's a good thing, but not for every people. I do like, I don't know if I have a specific like books in mind or articles. I do think it is important to explore ideas outside of like your area. So like for me, I like exploring the philosophy a bit more and the, I guess, the history of ideas. It's not anything like major, but this does help me then like combine those ideas into what I'm doing here. So if like, for example, you read a lot of like productivity books and like self-help and stuff like that, so maybe jumping outside of that and just looking at different perspectives. So not a specific, I guess, recommendation of a book, but maybe like switching genres a bit more.
Right.
So like you could read like agile books, right? Great books, but then you could find similar ideas from different kind of book, maybe medical books, and then you could you know, learn stuff. So I would say, like, yeah, just switch context. Maybe you can get good ideas from that.
That's a good idea. That helps you, you know, change context, change your line and your loop that you're
yeah,
in, that you're
yeah,
saying,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
That's a good tip. All right. Thank you very much, David, for sharing this.
For
I think it's
me.
Really important topic to remember in the organization and for person as a person individually, right? So I recommend our listeners to keep on exploring it. Of course, we're not psychologists or anything like that to, you know, give like top-notch tips or something, but I think it's good to be aware of it and notice it. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for bringing the topic, and good luck with the future endeavors.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Bye.
Thank you.